This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most kind. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Him do we come and to Him will we return. To Him belong the most beautiful names and He is the most high and the most great. We ask Allah to send our greetings and our peace and salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his perfect and pure family, to his companions and to all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be from amongst them. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have over the past couple of weeks discussed the issue of tawheed. And as I said, tawheed, and I continue to mention, tawheed is the crux of our religion. Our religion speaks about so many things. In fact, Islam is not a religion, it's a deen, a way of life. That Islam is in every aspect. Islam is going even how we use the toilet. This is all part of Islam. But the essence of Islam is the concept of tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and the connection that we have between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason that Allah has placed us on this dunya, that we may magnify Him, sanctify Him, glorify Him, that we should have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every decision in our life, every action in our life, even using the toilet, is about drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when the Muslims encountered the Romans, one of them was surprised. They said, has your prophet even taught you how to use the bathroom? He said, yes, it's all part of the deen. The deen is all encompassing. It's not just about what we do in the masjid. Every decision in our life is attached to our overall relationship. My overall objective is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the perfection, you can never be perfect in this dunya. No one is perfect. But the job is to pursue perfection, to continuously strive to be perfect, to live your life as if though you can see Allah. If you could see Allah now, if Allah was in front of you, and you had to make a decision, what decisions would you take? What job would you take? What person would you marry? What person would you befriend? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of you, how would you live your life? And we said the objective is to reach Allah in the akhirah. That yes, we cannot see Allah in the dunya. We live as if though we can see Him. And then inshaAllah in the akhirah, we will see Allah. And this is the highest level of reward. The greatest reward is to see Allah. May we all be sitting like this in Jannah one day and gazing at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many times we speak of Allah, and we worship Allah, and we make sujood to Allah, but if we to be asked, who is Allah? What would we say? How do we understand Allah? How can we love Allah if we don't know who He is? Is Allah merciful? Is He kind? Is He the one who punishes? Is He His might, His power, His, all these attributes of Allah? How does Allah want us to understand Him? We can't picture Allah in our mind. But we should have a relationship with Allah. Our objective in life, and this is the secret to Islam and the success of the Sahaba, that they loved Allah above themselves and their nafs. That's how they gave up their sleep. That's how they gave up the haram. For us, it's so difficult to give up and reform our lives. Why? Because our love for Allah is not where it should be. Once Allah becomes the beloved in your life, that everything is for the sake of Allah, you love Allah genuinely, you know if you love someone, that beloved person, you can't wait to go back to him or to her, to spend time with that person. The things that you love in this life, you want to spend as much time with that object or watching that program, that's the thing that you love the most. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the thing he loves the most is to make salah. So how come ya Rasulullah? Is there something different between you and us? He's taqwa. That he loves Allah so much, that when he's in the company of Allah in salah, then it brings him happiness. How do we get to that level? How do we get there? It's not a genetic answer. You aren't born with this taqwa. It develops over time. So how did Allah bring that love into the hearts of people? And we make dua, ya Allah, let us love you like that. That we love you, ya Allah, above everything in this dunya, above ourselves, our family, our business, our wealth, that when the salah comes, it brings us happiness and it's not a burden. That salah is an enjoyment and not a burden. And when you get to that level of taqwa, and there are some people that experience it even today, we can all get there. But we have to have a relationship with Allah first. And so therefore it begins by knowing who Allah is. So who is Allah? And if your kids ask you who is Allah, we say what Allah says about Himself. And Allah, when you open the Quran, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, who are you? Oh Allah, who are you? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah begins with these attributes as to who He is. The very first attribute, or the most encompassing attribute of Allah, is His mercy. Yes, He is the most powerful. Yes, He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the one, the only, the one that deserves worship alone. But the first thing Allah says about Himself, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That when you think of Me, the first thing you should think of is Rahmah. And what is the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Both of them come from Rahmah. Both of them comes from mercy. What's the difference? And this is of the names of Allah. Ar-Rahman, He's the one who in His essence, in His makeup, in His DNA, if we should say, it is made up of rahmah. That the very nature of Allah is mercy. That His mercy encompasses everything. Allah says, "Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay." That everything in creation, even Iblis, receives of Allah's mercy. That nothing is away from the mercy of Allah. That this is a mercy, a general mercy for all creation. Allah is aware of every single atom in His kingdom, and He looks towards His creation with mercy and with kindness. That is who Ar-Rahman is. As for Ar-Rahim, this is specific mercy. We could say Ar-Rahman is a passive state. Allah is always merciful all the time. And Rahim is when Allah is active. When He does something, He does it with rahmah. So when Allah is not doing anything and Allah is always busy with something, His natural state is merciful. And when He acts in mercy. So that's why you'll hear on some programs, they will translate the generally merciful and the specially merciful. General mercy and specific mercy. So Allah is saying that in every action He does, it is done with mercy. And the Mufassireen have gone further to say, Rahman is a special kind of mercy for the believers. So while Allah is merciful to everything in terms of His Rahman, as for Rahim, it's a specific mercy to His believers and to those on Qiyamah. Every single one of us is entitled to the mercy of Allah. Allah has promised us this. And just to make you understand this concept of rahmah, the womb of a mother in Arabic is called a rahim. The womb in Arabic is called the rahim. That's why we say silatul rahim. Silatul rahim, keeping family ties. It actually literally means keeping the ties of the uterus or the womb. The womb, keeping the ties that connect you of the uterus, the rahim. This Rahmah and Rahman, and there's a hadith which Allah says, I've taken My name Rahman and Rahim from the Rahim, from the uterus, from the womb. Because the most merciful thing, the greatest aspect of mercy you and I will ever experience on the dunya is that of our mother. That when we are a baby, she encompasses us with love, affection, protection. From all angles, the uterus is there to protect and to love and to care. So Allah says, that's who I am. And obviously Allah's mercy is greater than that. Look at the connection. Allah wants you to think of Him. The very first thing you think about is like that loving, protective uterus that encompasses His entire creation. And He nourishes and sustains and looks after them. When you sleep, no one looks after you except Allah. Who keeps that heart beating? Who keeps that blood flowing? Who watches out for you all the time? It is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. That's who Allah is. That's where Allah begins. That's who He wants you to think. And of His names, and there are many names, the 99 names of Allah, we can't mention all of them, but of them, and if any of us go through difficulty, and we feel despondent, and we feel away from Allah, and we always feel that we're not doing enough, and we will never do enough in the eyes of, in relation to Allah. Think of these names. He is Al-Ghaffar and Al-Ghafoor. Of the names that are mentioned the most in the Quran. In fact, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, after Allah, it is the names which are mentioned the most. Before Allah mentions Shadidul Iqab, the most severe in punishment, every time you find punishment, more than double, you'd find mercy. Allah is Al-Ghaffar. Who is Ghaffar? Ghaffar, a mighfara is a shield. In Arabic, the mighfara is the shield. So Allah says, I am the one that shields you from harm. that when the harm from yourselves, the sins that you commit, I will protect you from my punishment. And Ghafoor is the one who forgives widely. That whenever you come to him for forgiveness, it is guaranteed for you. That's who Al-Ghafoor is. Above forgiveness is Al-Afu. Like the dua we make in Ramadan. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbu al-afu fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are al-afu. Who is al-afu? Afu is the one that not only forgives sins. Forgiving sins is one thing. But to remove it as if though it never existed is even better than that. So Allah takes your record and deletes it. On Qiyamah, Allah can say, you've committed this sin, you're found guilty, but I will stop the punishment. I forgive you, that's maghfirah. As for afu, Allah subhanahu, you come on Qiyamah and you said, I know I did this sin, but you won't find it in your books. It's expunged completely. Your records are gone. That is who al-afu is. So Allah says, I am that afu. And we make that dua in Ramadan. And we can continue making it. Allah is at-tawwab. And again, in English, the meaning is lost. Because tawbah, you'll find, means forgiveness. Taba yatubu is to return. That the one who comes back to you when you run away. When you leave and desert Allah, He comes back to you. He returns to you. When you come back to Him, He's there already. Allah is the one waiting for you to come back. So you have distanced yourself from His mercy, but the minute you want to come back, and even if you don't come back, He comes to you. He makes you become old and reflective. He gives you sickness to make you realize and come back to Him. That is At-Tawwab. Al-Latif, Lutf, is to be gentle and loving and soft. It's that quality that again a mother gives to her baby. So Allah says, I'm Al-Latif, the most gentle and the softest in all of when He deals with His creation. He's Al-Wadud. And this وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah mentions in the ayah of love between a husband and a wife, مَوَدَّةً. That deep love and connection between a husband and a wife, Allah describes as مَوَدَّةً. He says, Allah says, I am Al-Wadood. I am the loving when it comes to my creation. I love my creation more than any other one. No, more than the creation love themselves. And Allah loves us. And sometimes as Muslims, we don't use the word love enough. When we speak about Allah. You find other religions, they will say Jesus is love. Allah says, of His names is the loving. This is His name. I love you. Whatever Allah commands is out of love. And whatever Allah wants is love. He is Al-Halim. Al-Halim is the forbearing. Forbearing, what is forbearance in English? It means the one who is patient with the wrongs done against Him. We all sin against Allah. He's given us the instruments to further our life, yet we use that against Him. We use His gifts to disobey Him. And should He take us to account for what we do, and He's justified to do that, what would become of us? But Allah is patient. We disobey Him. We abuse Him. We don't give Him His haqq. We don't remember Him. And when we give our ibadah to someone other than Him, He is the one that feeds us and gives us and protects us. And yet we go to others and pray and ask for help and to ask for forgiveness. There are some who will praise other than Allah for this rain. May Allah praise be to Allah who has granted us this rain. Yet He does not hold us to account. He allows us to live our life. That is being Halim, Al-Halim. That's His name. He's forbearing and patient with His creation, even though they are impatient with Him. Allah says in the Quran, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. كَتَبَ means to make compulsory. Like, you know, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ. Allah has made fasting compulsory on you. What is compulsory on Allah? How can Allah say something is fard on Allah? No one can command Allah to do something. But He says, كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. I have made fard on myself, rahmah. Look at this ayah. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Of the things that Allah has made compulsory for Himself, I must be merciful all the time. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا. That any of you who commits a mistake, بِجَهَالَةٍ, out of your ignorance, not recognizing Allah, even if you did it deliberately. جَهَالَة doesn't mean unintentionally. Even if you did it deliberately, intentionally. ثُمَّ تَابَ. And then you come back to Allah, مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, after that. وَأَصْلَحَ, and you correct yourself, فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then you will automatically find Allah forgiving and merciful. So Allah wants you to know this is who He is. Allah says, Nabbi ibadi annani ghalghafur rahim. Say to my ibad, my slaves, say to the creation. Allah is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, convey to them that their Lord, that I am of forgiving, most merciful. Whenever they think of me, think of mercy and forgiveness. Kul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Allah says to all of us, the one that committed sin, the one who is 60, 70, has not made one salah, the one who was committing all the kinds of shirk and anything, any sin that you do, this ayah applies to the sinner. This ayah is for the sinner. If you committed sin, then this ayah is for you. Allah says, Kul ya ibadi, say to my servant, not the good one, alladhi asrafu ala anfusihim, the one who sinned against himself. Say to the bad one, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't ever give up on my mercy. Don't give up on Allah. I have not given up on you. What the sin is, it's general. Any sin other than shirk, any sin, murder, drugs, whatever it might be, no salah for 80, 90 years, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't give up on my mercy. Don't lose hope in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. That I can forgive all sins. Allah forgives every single sin. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Because it is my nature, I am الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I am the one that forgives, and I am merciful. More than anyone else forgives, anyone else is mercy. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, if anyone comes to you and asks, tell me about Allah. Who is Allah? Where is Allah? What should you respond? إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am near to Him already. I know His affairs. I know His situation. I know his difficulty in his life. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I always respond to the one who calls out to me. Anytime, any day, any place you want to call to me, I'm available. What? Subhanallah, in our worldly life, there is no person, even the one that is closest to you, that you can have access to him or her at any time of the day. Imagine the CEO of your company, Allah subhanahu is above all that, the president. You don't have direct access to these people. Yet Allah says, I am near to you. Any time of the day or night you call, I respond. I am there waiting for you. We don't know if the other creations of Allah have this access to Allah. The angels, as we said, there's a masjid they go to one day in their life and they can never return to that masjid. As for this creation of insan, Allah says, I am near to you, and whenever you call on me, I answer that dua. أُجِيبُ الدَّعْوَةُ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer you when you call on me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So you answer me also. When I call you, then answer me as well. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And so believe in me. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that you may become led aright. I answer you, and I am near, and I'm waiting. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of Himself. To give you an understanding of who Allah is, and of His mercy, and what I want us to think about when you make sujood to Allah, and when you ask, how many times when we ask and we think this is an impossibility. When that goes through your mind, you have not given Allah His true due. When the doctors say you are terminally ill, there's nothing we can do, you must raise your hand and say, I know you are near Allah, I know you hear, and I know your answer, and I know with just one word you can remove all of my problems. That is true belief. A man runs into the masjid one day, Nabi is on the minbar, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, halaktu, halaktu, we are destroyed. We need rain. Nabi raises his hands immediately, and he makes dua. And immediately the clouds begin to form, and it begins to rain. The next Friday, a week later, the same man runs into the masjid, and he says, we are destroyed. Nabi says, why? He said, it's raining too much now, it's been a week, and the rain hasn't stopped. And Nabi smiles, raises up his hands, and says, Ya Allah, around us, and not on us. And Sahaba say, immediately we saw the clouds dispersing. This is the kind of iman that we should have. That when you make dua, you must believe, Allah is hearing me, and Allah has the power to fix anything. Kun fayakun, everything is within His power. I answer that dua. I know your situation, and I'm with you if you are with me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah, when He created the universe, created creation, He also created mercy and divided mercy into 100 pieces, a well-known hadith. Right? He divided mercy into 100 parts, 100%. And he took 1% of that 100 and he sent it down to his creation. And he gave mercy to his creation. So much so that the animal will lift her feet up, the elephant will lift its foot up and not to tramp on its young. The mercy that you feel for your kids and your mother feels for you and the animals feel for each other and the plants, every single mercy in all of creation is only 1%. What about the other 99? Allah says, I kept that for myself. I have the 99. That's who Allah is. That's who Allah is. When Allah decreed the creation and He pledged Himself by writing in His book, Allah again made compulsory that my mercy will always exceed my punishment. That Allah's mercy will forever be more than His punishment. That He will always choose forgiveness and mercy over punishment. No one will be punished except the one who deprives himself of Allah's mercy. Like Nabi Ibrahim says to his father, I am scared, O my father, that Ar-Rahman is going to punish you. That the one who hates to punish, you are forcing him to punish you. There was a battle that occurred in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And during a battle, we know this confusion. And people were running and screaming, and they saw a lady panicking. And she's shouting, where's my son, where's my child? Because she thought that she lost the child, the battle could have occurred, the child could have died. And as she's running frantically, she finds her boy, she finds her son. And she picks this child up. And if you're a parent, and maybe you've lost your child for a minute or two in the supermarket, and then you find your child again, just before you give the child a hiding, you know, you grab that child, and you hug that child, and that feeling of relief. Now this lady thought her child had died, it's a battle. You know, bodies are lying on the ground, my child is probably dead. And she finds him, and she picks him up and grabs him. And the Sahaba look at this lady, and she's hugging this child and kissing this child. And you know, pulling this child close, not wanting to let go. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, can you imagine this woman ever taking this child and throwing that child in the fire? This is impossible, this mother will never do that. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah is more reluctant to punish you than this woman is to put her child in Jahannam. Hassan al-Basri says, if you truly understood Allah's mercy, you would prefer Allah to judge you on Qiyamah than your own mother. If I told you that your mother will stand and question you on Qiyamah to send you to Jannah or Jahannam, we all think we'll pass, Alhamdulillah. If mommy is there, there's no way she's going to send you to Jahannam. Allah is more reluctant to send you to Jahannam than your own mother. This is who Allah is. When you ask, if you know you're in difficulty, you are dying, and your father had the cure, your mother had the cure, you have no doubt if I ask, my parents are going to help me. Allah is more willing to help you than your own parents. That's who Allah must be when you make dua and you make istighfar to Him. We know on Qiyamah that even those who Allah punish and they are justified in their punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove them from Jahannam out of His mercy. That they will be sentenced for a certain period, and then Allah will take those same sinners, those same evil people, the murderers and the drug addicts and whoever committed sin and didn't come to Him in istighfar, He will take them out of Jahannam to the point where, how bad must you be before Allah will say, this person stays in Jahannam? We know the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever has tawheed and didn't commit shirk, the only thing he didn't do, he didn't make one sujood, he didn't make one salah, he didn't make one Allahu Akbar even. But the only thing he didn't do is commit shirk. He committed every sin, but he didn't commit shirk. He didn't worship someone besides Allah. He did not turn to anyone and make dua and make sujood. He turned to Allah if he needed something. This person, all of them will be removed from Jahannam. No one will be in Jahannam eternally unless you commit shirk. This is of Allah's mercy. In a hadith Qudsi, the hadith Qudsi is where Allah mentions that He has an abundant and excess amount of angels who travel through the dunya. Their job is just to travel around in the dunya, seeking out gatherings in which Allah's name is being remembered. And when the angels find this a place like this Jumu'ah right now, they sit with the people and they fold their wings around each other, filling, and they come in groups so much so that it fills this dunya up until the lowest sama. And when they depart and they leave the gathering, when it's done, and they rise up to the sama, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah asks them, and Allah is not in need of asking, Allah knows the answer of every question. He asks them, from where have you come? O angels, where did you come from? And they, the angels, would say, we have come from a group of your servants on earth. They were saying, Subhanallah, glorifying you, and saying, Allahu Akbar, exalting you, and saying, and they bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except you, La ilaha illallah. And they praise you by saying, Alhamdulillah, and they also make dua, they also ask of you things. So Allah will say, and Allah knows what the answer is, what do they ask of me? What do they want from me? And the angels will say, they ask of you, Ya Allah, that you enter them into Jannah. Then Allah would say, but have they seen my Jannah? And the angels would say, no. They make dua, believing in it, but they never saw it. So Allah says, so can you imagine how they would make dua if they actually saw my Jannah? Then Allah says, then the angels would say, they also, Ya Allah, ask that you protect them. They ask you to protect them from that they are protected. So Allah says, from what do they want protection? The angels will say, they ask you to protect them from Jahannam. So Allah says, have they seen my Jahannam? And the angels will say, no, they haven't seen it. So Allah will say, and how would it then be? Can you imagine how they would make dua if they actually saw my Jahannam? And the angels say, they ask for you to forgive them. Then Allah, the Prophet says that Allah says, I have forgiven them already. And I have bestowed upon them whatever they asked, I've given them that. And I've granted them protection from which they asked protection. Then the angel will say, Ya Allah, but in that group there was someone who just walked past and he saw a group and he sat down. Maybe a minute, 2 minutes. Is he also in this dua? Who was merely passing by and sat down with them. So Allah will say, and to him also I have given my forgiveness. He who sits with them, even if he didn't participate, he just sat there. He will also not suffer and he will get the same as they got. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens every moment, every day, all the time. And inshallah our names are also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are remembering him. Look at this hadith. Allah says, I am as my servant thinks of me. The way you think of me is how I will be. I am with him when he makes mention of you. If you remember Allah, Allah will mention you. Not mention you. Mention you by name. If you mention Allah by name, he mentions you by name. If he mentions me to himself, he remembers me personally, I will remember him and mention him personally in myself. And if he mentions me in a gathering, a group of people, then I will mention him in a gathering better than the gathering he mentioned in the company of the angels and Jibreel. And if he draws near to me a short distance, I will draw near to him a bigger distance. And if he comes walking to me, I come running to him. Allah mentions a servant. The Prophet ﷺ mentions, a servant of Allah committed a sin. And that servant said, Oh Allah, forgive me my sin. And he, Allah, said, my servant has committed a sin, and he knows that he has a Lord who forgives and punishes. Then this, so Allah forgave him. Then the person sinned again, the same sin, he did it again. And he came back to Allah and said, Ya Allah, forgive me my sin. And Allah says, my servant has committed a sin. And he acknowledges that he has a Rabb who forgives and punishes them. Then the servant sinned again and he came back to Allah. And Allah said the same thing. He knows that he has a Rabb who forgives and he punishes. So do what you wish, for I have forgiven you. This is in Bukhari. Continue as you wish. And every time you come back to me, even the same sin 50, 60 years, I will forgive you and I will forgive you and forgive you. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. One alim said, you know, obviously sins are bad and we don't look at it. But some sins actually is a mercy. It will take us to Jannah. Because that sin is that problem, that weakness we fight with ourselves every day. Some days we are strong and we fight that urge. Other days we are weak, we give in, but then we go back into Tawbah. And that brings us closer to Allah. And we continue this battle 50, 60 years until we die. And it will be that sin that will enter us into Jannah. Because we continue, fight that sin, and continuously make dua. One of the tools of shaitan is he says, give up on Tawbah. That you can't come back to Allah now. That's one of the tools of shaitan. A man from amongst those who were before you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, was called to account. On the day of judgment, he'll be called to account. And it was found he did nothing of good or bad, any good deeds. He just, no salah, no dhikr, nothing. The only thing good he did was that he used to lend money. And if a person out of desperation couldn't pay him back, he would forgive that person. So Allah says, I am worthier to let the guy off the hook, the debtor off the hook, than him. So I let those off the hook when it's Allah's turn to take his retribution. This is who Allah is. So when you think of generosity, Allah is more generous. When you think of someone who is kind, Allah is more kind. When you think of someone who loves you, now Allah loves you more than that person. O son of Adam, this is perhaps my favorite hadith. If you ask me, what's my favorite hadith? It's this hadith. A hadith Qudsi, where Allah Himself says these words. Allah says, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you for what you have done and I don't mind. No questions asked. Call me, ask me, forgive me. I give you what you want, I forgive you. How big, how small, I forgive that. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky, 70 years you made sin, no istighfar, and now you come back and seek my forgiveness, I guarantee I will forgive you. O son of Adam, if you were to come to me, and this is on Qiyamah, with sins that are close to filling the earth, and then you would meet me. Now you come to me like this. You could live a life of sin, and you died without making tawbah. What must I do with such a person? You ate haram, you looked at haram, you did everything haram, you didn't make salah, you didn't ask for forgiveness and you died. Now you come to me on Qiyamah. With sin equal to filling the world, you come to Allah like that. But without ascribing any partners with me, you didn't commit shirk, you didn't go to a kramat, you didn't go to a wali, you didn't go to a sheikh or a prophet or an angel or a jinn, you only worshipped Allah alone. You come to Allah in that state, with a world filled with sin, but no shirk, then Allah say, I will certainly bring to you forgiveness equal to filling the world. I will forgive you. That's who Allah is. Don't commit shirk with Allah and you're guaranteed His mercy. You're guaranteed His forgiveness. Guaranteed your place in Jannah. Guaranteed when you ask, He will forgive. Guaranteed that He will overlook every sin and mistake. This is halas hadith for today. A hadith to live by. A hadith, as I said, the series is about Tawheed, about your connection with Allah. What do I think about when I think of Allah? How do I live my life? Another hadith, Qudsi, meaning a hadith which Allah Himself says. Allah says, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself. In the previous discussion we said, Allah made something compulsory on Himself. Farud for Him is mercy. Allah has made something haram for Himself. What can be haram for Allah? Who can question Allah if He does something? Allah says, I made something haram for me. I've made oppression haram for myself. And I've made it forbidden, and therefore I also made it haram for you. So do not oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray except for those I have guided. So seek guidance from me. Ask me, Ihdina ya Allah, and I will guide you. Ask Allah for guidance and He will guide you. Oh my servant, all of you are hungry, except those who I feed. So seek food from me and I shall feed you. Don't ask anyone other than me. Oh my servants, all of you are naked, except for those who I have clothed. So seek clothing from me and I guarantee I will give you that clothing. Oh my servants, you sin by night and by day. You transgress and disobey me. Day and night you do this. And I forgive all sins. I've forgiven all of them. So seek forgiveness of me. Ask and I will forgive you. O my servants, you will not attain harming me. You will never harm me. So as to harm me. And you will not attain benefiting me. You can't increase me in goodness. So in terms of benefiting me. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human and the jinn of you, to be as pious as the most pious of hearts. If all of you were like Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. It will not benefit me in the least. And if all of you, the first and the last, the human and the jinn, all of you, you had the worst of hearts, all of you were like Iblis, like Shaitan, that would not take away from my kingdom in the least. Oh, my servants were the first of you and the last of you, the human and the jinn, to rise up in one place and ask me and ask me and ask me. All of you asked and I were to give everyone what he requested. I satisfied all your demands, your requests. That would not diminish from me any more than a needle takes a drop out of the water of the ocean. That's how little it would take away from me, or even less. That's who I am. Oh, my servants, it is but your deeds, Allah now says to us, it is but your deeds that I judge and I will reward or punish what you have done. I will only reward you on your deeds. So whoever finds good, let him praise Allah. Alhamdulillah. And whoever finds other than that, after all this mercy and all the kindness and all the forgiveness, you're still in Jahannam, then blame no one but yourself. Because Allah has done everything possible to enter you into Jannah. That little bit, that last 1% is in your hands. Don't commit shirk. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to give Allah what He deserves. May Allah place His love in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize His mercy and His kindness. May we worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.